Welcome to The Vault. Over Pastor Hal's 60 years of ministry, we at Life Ministry Church were blessed to hear some amazing sermons and teaching series. As God's word is timeless, the principles behind these messages still apply for today. We hope and pray that these messages will bless you as much as they did when Pastor Hal first delivered them.
I wish to talk to you this afternoon on perfection. And I'm hoping what I have to share is not only going to be of importance, but of real value to many of you here this afternoon. My text is in Hebrews 10 and verse 14. And there it says, "For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified." For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Let us pray together. Now, Father, we're very conscious that we're in the midst of a world that is collapsing around about us. Father, we see turmoil and distress and confusion on every side. The old standards being wiped away, nothing replacing them as the world drifts into doing its own thing, its own way, and brings about the resultant disaster that we see on every hand. I pray you this afternoon, Father, in the midst of these types of situations in which we all find ourselves, that your word today might be refreshing, that your word might be an encouragement to us, and that there might be revelation in the midst of your word to each heart here today. All grant it, Father, for I ask this of you in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. When we talk of perfection, we tend to think of something so often that's far ahead. Something that's not within our reach. Something that's veiled. Something of which at the most we just get a glimpse of sometimes, and nothing else. Something virtually that is unseen. And I don't believe that is the truth. I know that many of us have a yearning for perfection, or for greater perfection than we know. And although there is a truth in the fact that everything is ahead as far as perfection is concerned, I want to share with you a truth, that perfection is yours in one way right now. The text we've just read, "For by one offering," that's Christ, of course, "he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified," makes it very, very clear that something is available to us right now. There is a hope right now for us concerning perfection. For that verse tells us that something has been accomplished. By one offering, he hath, past tense, a present fact, he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. So there's a reality here for you and I to grasp right at this very moment. God hath done something for you and for me right this moment. Now, there's two things I want you to note in that verse. The first thing is what a child of God is. The Bible here says he is a sanctified person. And secondly, what Christ has done for that sanctified person, he hath perfected him forever. And these are the two things I briefly want to look at this afternoon. I want to look at sanctification, or another word is holiness. They both mean the same thing. And I want to look at the perfection of those who are sanctified. All right, let's take the first one, the sanctification. First of all, can we look at number one up there on the screen? And I just have on that particular overhead, a sanctified person is a perfected person. A sanctified or a holy person is a perfect person. That's what we've just read in the Word of God. All right, let's put the second one up, please, Ross. Now, sanctification or holiness in this verse is talking to us. You don't have to wonder if it's talking to some other group of people, but perhaps not to us. But Hebrews is clearly to the born-again, blood-washed believer. So this verse is talking to us who are sanctified. And I have up there on that overhead what the meaning of sanctification is. Sanctification simply means, it comes from the Greek hagiasmos, and it means to be set apart for God. So don't be bedeviled by the word. Don't be confused by the word sanctification and say, well, that's some religious term and I guess it's got a meaning and I don't know what it means. That is what it means. Sanctification means to be set apart for God. And it is something which is the result of your faith when you accepted Christ, and your faith in what the Holy Spirit can do in your life. And as a result of that faith that when you accepted Christ, some operation of God took part in your life, from that faith, the Holy Spirit flows and brings about this perfection in your life. So I'm not talking in this particular type of perfection of something which you have to obtain. This is not something you have to attain unto, but it is a state that God calls you into by His grace. However you feel this afternoon, if you are a Christian, if you are a believer, you are already perfect. I'll bring some qualifications onto that in a moment, but I want you to understand this principle very clearly. Hebrews 3 and verse 1 talks to us about being partakers of the heavenly calling. There is a heavenly calling. It's a calling unto sanctification or holiness or separation unto God, and we can be partakers of it. So sanctification is a state. It's a situation you find yourself in. One that God calls us into by His grace. And not too many of us perhaps understand that we started our Christian walk in a state of perfection. And that is a fact. We started our Christian walk in a state, in a situation, in a calling of holiness or separation unto God. Now I know full well that perfection has to be brought to maturity. 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 1 says that we are to perfect holiness in the fear of God. So there is a perfecting of that holiness. I'm well aware of that. But I'm not talking about that maturing thing. I'm talking about the fact that the Bible says if you are born again, then from the moment you are born again, there is a state of holiness, of sanctification, of separation under God, which is your privilege. Now in Hebrews 9, and we're not going to read it all because of time, Paul speaks about the tabernacle, he speaks about the candlestick, he speaks about the table of showbread, the altar of incense, speaks about the Ark of the Covenant and the mercy seat, and he speaks about the priests and about priestly things. In fact, the book of Hebrews is based, as you know, on the tabernacle and on these holy sanctified things. And although all these things that Paul speaks about in Hebrews 9 and other parts of the book of Hebrews, even though they were all holy things, they back there were not made perfect until they were sprinkled with the blood of the sacrifice. And that's in Hebrews 9:21, which we're going to read later on. Now, in that tabernacle, there were priests who did nothing else except to wait on the Lord. When they were on duty, their sole job was to wait on the Lord. They were a chosen company because the tribe of Levi, where all the priests came from, was a chosen tribe set aside for this purpose to be priests unto God. Those priests were prepared, all sorts of ceremonies and washings and dedications which set them apart for the special service of their God. And this is exactly what you and I are. Just as they were chosen and prepared, so you and I are chosen and prepared. We are, each one of us, regardless of how you feel, we are sanctified. We are chosen of God to pour himself through. And he's called us for that specific purpose, that we may be priests of his to minister out into that world and to be lights in it. And back there in the Old Testament, nobody could use those sanctified vessels except for the purpose to which they were called. Now there were occasions when people tried to do it. You remember in Daniel the story of Belshazzar and how that king at a drunken festival he was having, he called for those golden vessels which his grandfather Nebuchadnezzar had taken out of the temple when he burnt it down in 606 BC. And they brought those vessels in from the storeroom, and he had wine poured into them. And in that lustful, drunken situation, he and his concubines drank, and princes and nobles drank wine from those vessels that had been taken out of Solomon's temple. And you know what happened to him. I don't have to tell you the story. He was swept away by God within a matter of hours. And so it is with us, Christian men and women. The same principles apply exactly to us. We are not for the use of anything else except God. I wonder if that really penetrates into us. We are a sanctified people. We are a set apart people. We are a people who belong to God. We're not for the devil's use. We are not for the world's use. We are not for our own use. We are sanctified for Christ's use. And that's just what's meant by this word in Hebrews 10 and verse 14, sanctified. We are set apart for a specific calling and a specific task and a specific position in God. All right. Let me make clear one thing. I am not talking of holiness of character. That's a totally different thing. That's a matter of growth and of maturing and of a change in our way of life and so on. I'm not talking about holiness of character. That's quite a different subject. I'm talking about holiness because of our position in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because we have accepted Christ, that in the sight of God, we are now perfect. And the Bible says so. There's not one of us who are perfect in character. I'm not, and you're not. But we are all of us perfect in this position in God that I'm trying to express to you. There's plenty of examples in the Word where priests were not perfect in character. And yet, because they were sanctified and set apart for their service, they were accepted. And a typical case of that, of course, the sons of Eli, who were accepted for service in the temple, even though in character they were bad men. So today, you are the children of God. And you know that much. And because you're the children of God, therefore, you are sanctified. And because you are sanctified, therefore, you have the task to offer spiritual sacrifices unto your God. In your home, in your work, in your walk, in your private life. All right, let's take the second point. That's being sanctified. Let's take the second point, and we put number three up. Thank you, Russ. The second point is that we are perfected. We have up there, made perfect in God's sight by Jesus' blood. Made perfect in God's sight by the blood of Jesus. We are perfected because we are sanctified. Now, back in that tabernacle, all those vessels I mentioned and all those instruments and pieces of furniture, the candlestick and the table of showbread and the altar of incense and the mercy seat, all these things were sanctified things. They were all dedicated to God before they were put into the tabernacle or the temple for use. But back there, they were not perfect. They could not be used until they had been sprinkled with the blood of the sacrifice. Hebrews 9 and verse 21. Let me read it to you. Moreover, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. So they were dedicated, but they were not fit for use. They were not perfected until the blood had been sprinkled upon them. And as soon as the blood was sprinkled on them, then they were officially perfect. They'd already been set apart and dedicated. Now they were perfect. They were accepted as such by God. And it was exactly the same with the priests, the Levites, who ministered in that tabernacle. Once they were sprinkled, even though as a race, as a tribe, they had been set aside, they had to be sprinkled. And once they were sprinkled with the blood, they were perfect for their ministry in God's sight. Now remember, they were not perfect in character. I'll stress that again. They were only perfect in God's grace, in his standing, in his calling, in the position that he had called them to. Now, how does this all refer to us when it comes to perfection? Well, let's take that high priest for a moment. Now you remember how once a year that high priest had to go into that tabernacle on the Day of Atonement, and he had to go behind the veil before the mercy seat, before the presence of God where the Shekinah glory was, and there he had to sprinkle the blood. But it wasn't quite as simple as that, because he had no way of going into that Holy of Holies before the mercy seat where the Shekinah glory, the presence of God, shone forth, unless he were perfect. God is perfect, and imperfection cannot fellowship him. God was perfect, and anything imperfect that came before him would be destroyed immediately by his judgment. That's just automatic. So how could that high priest get in there once a year on the Day of Atonement to atone for the sins of the whole of Israel unless he were perfect? And the answer was, of course, he was sprinkled with blood. And because the blood of a substitutionary sacrifice was upon him, God considered him as perfect, and he was able to move in there behind the veil into the Holy of Holies. The sprinkling of the blood had made him positionally perfect. He had a problem, however, because next year the Day of Atonement came again, and next year he had to go into the Holy of Holies again, and he still wasn't perfect. And so he had to go through the whole procedure again. Every year he had to be washed and cleansed, the ceremonial cleansing, and the blood had to be sprinkled on him so that once more he could go in behind that veil. Every year he needed a sacrifice. Every year, even though he is a sanctified man, he wasn't always officially perfect. Every year he needed a new sacrifice, a new lot of blood, a new lot of sprinkling before he could fulfill his ministry. Let's have number four, Ross. Now, we are the children of God. We are priests of God, the Bible says so. And as priests, we have access to the throne of God. But we can't have access unless we are perfect. There's no way you can approach God in imperfection. It is not possible. So we have the same problem as the high priest. We have the right of access, but we must be perfect to take that right and to approach God, to come into his presence. And that's why this verse I started off with is so tremendously important. For it says, by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. You see, the blood of Christ has been sprinkled on us. When you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, when you accepted the work of Calvary, when you accepted that he was the Lamb of God who was sacrificed for you, that his blood was shed for you, that what he did once in the end of the age was done for you eternally. Once you've accepted that, then you were perfected forever. And so we've got up there, sanctified means to be perfect, means that you have access to the throne of God. To be sanctified, that is set apart for God, that happened when you accepted Christ, means you are perfect, the Bible says so, and means that as a result, you have access to the Lord God. I want to read you in 1 Peter 1:2, just these words, elect, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. There it is again, that sprinkling of the blood that made us elect. Now, just as the character of that high priest was not perfect, so we are aware that our character is also imperfect. And your conscience and my conscience keeps telling us of the imperfection of our character. And I want to say to you that that is not relevant and what I'm talking about. I'm talking about access to the throne of God. I'm talking about the fact that you have a right to go before God, to approach Him, and you have that right because you are sanctified and perfected forever because that blood of Christ is upon your life. So it's not a matter of what your conscience tells you. It's not a matter of the fact that you are not yet perfect in your conscience. I know you're not any more than I am. But your position in the sight of God is one of perfection. Hallelujah. One of complete perfection. Just as He passed over the blood on the doorposts and the lintel of those homes in Egypt, so similarly He passes over the blood on your life when judgment is around you. He accepts us at His throne as perfect. I think that's so exciting. So Paul was able to say in Hebrews 10 and verse 19, I'm going to read it to you. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Have boldness, he said. You can boldly enter into the presence of your God. You can boldly approach the throne of your God. Oh, but can I really do this? Yes, the Word of God says that you can boldly do it. You might say, how can Paul say that to me? He didn't even know me or my problems. No, he didn't know you and he didn't know me and he didn't know our problems and difficulties, but he knew that once we genuinely accepted Christ, that we were sanctified and perfected in the sight of our God. So we must be clear. To have access to God means that there must be complete perfection. Perfection is absolutely essential if we are going to approach God. But also be clear, we are perfect and we can therefore approach our God. We are officially perfect. So this scripture once again says to us, the blood of Christ hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. That's what it's really saying. The blood of Christ hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. So we have access. And what is better, we don't have access once every year like the high priest and then have to go through it all again. We have access whenever we wish, as often as we wish. We don't need another sacrifice. We don't need another lamb. We don't need to have blood sprinkled on us continually. It was all done once. And never again do we need to do it. I'm not talking of character. I'm talking about your positional perfection before the throne of God. I don't know about you, but to me, that's a glorious and a wonderful and an exciting fact. That when I come before the throne of God, even though I may feel a sinner, God doesn't look upon me as one. No need for me to keep on getting saved and perfected. No need for me to keep on finding sacrifices and blood that can be sprinkled on me. It was once and for all. It was everlasting, and it brings me everlasting perfection before the throne of my God. And so it's a delight for me, of course, that as I stand here to minister this word to you, to know that although I am imperfect, I don't have to tell you that. You're well aware of it yourselves. Yet God is not using me any more than He'll use you as an imperfect man or an imperfect woman. Rather, He looks upon me as in Christ, and as being in Christ, sprinkled with that blood, and sprinkled with that blood as being perfect. And that encourages me. It gives me great hope That gives me great confidence in the ministering of the Word of God. And so he can use you in exactly the same way if you have that same confidence that you are an instrument, regardless of how you feel, who has been perfected, has access to God, whom he can flow through and use because of that perfection. Let me conclude and sum it all up in a few words. In the Old Covenant, which we read about in Hebrews, they needed continual sacrifices. Every morning, every evening, they had their morning and their evening sacrifice. Every day they needed one or two sacrifices, continual blood flowing all the time. And even that, Hebrews tells us, couldn't touch nor help their conscience, which still stayed uncleansed. They needed more and more and more and more sacrifices. But today, we have the one sacrifice, the slaughtered lamb of Calvary. You can come to him each morning and each evening. He's ever present, for that one sacrifice now stands forever. Praise his lovely name. I meditate on these things. I can still personally see the blood flowing through those 2,000 years since he sacrificed himself. I know the experience of a conscience that is cleansed. I know that my sins are gone. I know I have no need of any more remembrance of them. I'm purged from them, for he has perfected me forever through his sacrifice. Three things to remember as I come to a close. One, you have access to that throne because you're perfected. Two, you are vessels sprinkled with blood and therefore suitable for God to use and to flow through. And thirdly, that those two things are permanent facts established eternally. You and I need no new sacrifice. I want to close by asking you, are you a sanctified person today? And some of you probably still say, but brother, I feel so sinful. And I say to you, that wasn't the question I asked you. The question I asked you was, are you sanctified? Are you one who's set apart for God's service? One who accepts Christ, accepts the cross, accepts the shed blood, accepts the substitutionary sacrifice. Are you one who accepts these things? If so, then you're a sanctified person. Do you feel like living for Christ? Is Christ and his kingdom the center of your ambition? Everything else secondary and linked into that? If not, if you're one who rejects Christ, rejects the blood, rejects the sanctification, rejects the work of Calvary, you can't really accept it, you don't really believe it, you don't feel a sanctified, holy, set-apart person, then I want you to, before you leave this place today, get your facts straight. It's not a matter of your character. It's not a matter of your sins. God has given you a starting point, beautiful starting point of perfection before him. And if you don't accept what he's given to you through his grace, what will become of you? You will have no access to your God. And if you have no access to him, he will not use you in his service. And if you have no access, you will have no rest in your conscience ever. And in the day that's coming, you will be rejected because you're not sprinkled with the blood, not a vessel fit for his temple or his house. May God give you that grace today as we come to this table to once again renew these truths, that you might know that you have been perfected forever through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, friends.